AM 790 Talk and Business presents Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Join Bronwyn to hear about the next Waterfire event in downtown Providence, plus other great cultural events happening in the community. Now, here's your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser.
Well, and hello, 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 and welcome to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. We are supported by National Grid and Lifetime Medical, so very big thank you to our sponsors who make this program possible. And every week we are here with you on Wednesdays, taking you behind the scenes of Waterfire, telling you what's about to happen at Waterfire, and introducing you to the people that make it happen, as well as talking about a lot of other cultural things happening in this beautiful little state of ours, which, again, has got a lot of great things going on. I am absolutely through the moon, excited. I'm running on super high energy today because our whole office has been running on super high energy, and our whole production crew at Waterfire, because this weekend is going to be epic. And I'm hoping that we can fit in everything that we need to talk about in this one-hour show. But first, I'd like to introduce my co-host for the day, Miss Betsy Jones, who works at Waterfire. She's kind of the guru who, works with Barnaby and works with most of our sponsors with me and kind of keeps everything together. Hi, Betsy.
Well, hello there.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well today, thanks.
I am just psyched we were able to pull you out of the office because I know you're so busy.
I am, but it's always busy at Waterfire, especially coming up to an event. So.
Well, have you found that this last week or 2 weeks has been absolutely, I think, the busiest that we've been this year, because this weekend, August 1st, Saturday, August 1st, we are doing the second annual C is for Cure, Rhode Island Defeats Hep C Waterfire, and we're going to be talking a little bit later in the show, or actually right in a second, not later in the show. That means really 1 minute in my time. But to Dr. Lynn Taylor, who has spearheaded Rhode Island Defeats Hep C here in Rhode Island last year, helped us kick off this incredible event at Waterfire, and this year we're coming back bigger and stronger, and we've got so many amazing things going on. And Betsy, you've been working on a resource fair that's going to be happening at the fire, right?
I have been. We're pulling together a really lovely resource fair with a couple different organizations from around Rhode Island who help and focus on the population of people who may have hepatitis C.
Awesome. So we're going to get into that as we start talking about what I'm calling the Hep C Hope, or the Rhode Island Defeats Hep C Pavilion, because not only is there going to be testing and information there, but, oh my gosh, yep, we've got a massive music stage with Rose Weaver that's going to be playing all songs. You know, she's playing with the New Orleans Jazz Band, all about hope and, you know, uplifting people. So that's happening all in that area. And then, gosh, who doesn't know Greg Abate? He's been traveling around and he's been in Europe, and we were lucky enough. He comes back Thursday to get him for the stage to play there, on Saturday as well. So he'll be playing from 9 to 11. We'll be talking about that later on. But without any further ado, and we'll also be talking about other things. We have Festival Ballet performing, this incredible ballet to start the fire. But I would love to now say hello. Dr. Taylor, hi.
Hello, I'm so thrilled to be back here again to celebrate C is for Cure, Waterfire for Rhode Island Defeats Hep C.
I think, you know, you do such amazing work, and there's so much that people do not know about not only just the virus hepatitis C, but all of the breakthroughs that have been happening kind of over the last, what is it, 2 years essentially, Lynn?
It is just mind-blowing. It's astonishing. Almost every day there is some dizzying advance. This is really unprecedented with hepatitis C. We say C is for cure. Only a few years ago, if anyone said we could cure hepatitis C, the response would be, you're crazy. That's not possible. We can't cure viruses with pills. And now, literally every day, something's happening that is so new. There are just so many breakthroughs with hepatitis C. So we really are coming together to celebrate unprecedented advances, primarily in curative, safe therapies that can cure most people most of the time.
And again, has that only started in the last couple of years? And when did you start Rhode Island Defeats Hep C with
So I really owe everything with Rhode Island Defeats Hep C to the Rhode Island Foundation. Through the Rhode Island Foundation, I was awarded an innovation fellowship 3 years ago to help Rhode Island, to help Rhode Islanders save money. And really what I pitched was, hey, you know what? With all the changes and the shifts in the hepatitis C epidemic and with the crisis right now in the United States and around the world with the Hep C epidemic, if we are proactive now, we take action now in Rhode Island, we could save a lot of money for Rhode Island and Rhode Islanders, and we could be the first state to eliminate this epidemic.
Save a lot of money and a lot of lives.
Absolutely. So save lives, reduce suffering, reduce illness, keep families together, keep families in the workplace. This is a disease that really takes people at the peak of their lives. And I just heard from Dr. Camilla Graham from Harvard yesterday. We were so privileged to have her come to Brown University and Miriam Hospital to discuss hepatitis C for World Hepatitis Day on July 28th. And she discussed some Massachusetts data showing that the average time of from hepatitis C diagnosis to death from hepatitis C in Massachusetts was 3 years.
People
are getting diagnosed much too late. And the average age at death from hepatitis C was 53.
That's young. Because one of the things that I was reading on your website, RhodeIslandDefeatsHepC.com, is something that to me really struck me. One in every 30 baby boomers has the virus?
Yes, I'm so glad that you brought that up. You know, we want to leave any discussion of Hep C really with two main points. C is for cure. This is a curable infection, and cure helps reduce illness, suffering, and death, and saves money for everyone in addition. And that Hep C is everybody's problem. It is so common. One in 30 people born between 1945 and 1965 in the United States have hepatitis C. So we all have a spouse, a partner, a child, a grandparent, a neighbor, a colleague, a friend with hepatitis C. And if we think we don't, it's because we haven't been able to talk about it. One in 30 is our risk if we're baby boomers. And three out of four of us, 75%, have no idea that we're living with this silent infection.
Well, first, why is it that specific age group or, you know, that specific generation that is more likely to have Hep C?
Hepatitis C wasn't something that we were aware of until 1989. So throughout the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, there were many practices going on in medicine at freestanding colonoscopy clinics, at podiatry clinics, in medical settings that involved exchange of blood. And the medical systems in the United States and many other parts of the world really didn't have in place what we call now infection control, where everything is clean and sterile and gloves are used and instruments are cleaned in a very special way. And it was really the HIV epidemic that heralded in this idea of infection control. So just by virtue of growing up in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, we could have been exposed to Hep C unknowingly through some type of medical practice, not because a physician or medical system was doing anything egregiously or intentionally. It was because there was not an awareness of how infectious this virus could be through standard medical practices.
So you've got this group, and you're saying that most of them or most of these people who are infected don't know. What is it? Well, that's one, why we're doing testing at WaterFire. And I know for some people that people are going, you're going to be testing at WaterFire. It's extremely discreet. I myself did it last year. It takes a few minutes. It's very well done. And congratulations and kudos to you and your team, Dr. Taylor, because I know that everyone got followed up with a personal phone call. Everything's confidential. And then again, as you know, you try to create a plan and how to help people, whether, you know, not only medicinally, but a care plan, essentially. That's so important that people are finding this out. If 75% of the people don't know, would be the signs that somebody has been living with this virus that they might be overlooking?
So this is the difficult thing about hepatitis C. It's a silent, sneaky disease. It's a liver disease. It's an infectious disease. But when we first catch hepatitis C, we tend not to feel a thing. It's a day just like any other. That is the typical experience of someone at the moment, during the day, during the week, after being infected with hepatitis C. For a tiny percentage of people, there may be very mild, nonspecific symptoms, so mild that people may say, I have a cold, I have a little germ. Most times it doesn't bring us into medical attention. And then, over years, many years, as the infection is in the liver and causing scarring over time, we still tend to be without symptoms. We still tend to feel fine and tend to feel nothing. And that's why it's so important that we say, look, let's just get a simple test to see if we have it. Because, you know, in the common sense model of illness, we're not going to seek medical care unless we feel funny, unless we feel something's different or odd in our body. That doesn't happen with hepatitis C. So we have to get a test, specific test for the hepatitis C infection to let us know that we have it.
As part of this whole new initiative that you've been rolling out, making that part of you, when I go to the doctor, he sends me to go get a blood test. Is that becoming part of the norm now, that that test becomes part of your regular blood work?
That is absolutely the goal. The United States Centers for Disease Control, the World Health Organization, many other bodies around the world, and again, we're focused here on Rhode Island and the United States, the CDC has said that baby boomers should all be tested one time for hepatitis C with a very inexpensive, safe blood test. And I really have to thank and give all the credit to the hepatitis C testing team led by Ray Joseph, Paul Fitzgerald, Oz Lugo. As you mentioned, they do a beautiful job. They're very experienced in testing for hepatitis C. And what we do is we decided not to give results on August 1st at the night of water fire, just because we may be with our children, and we may be with our friends, and we may be listening to music. Mm-hmm. And what we've learned over time is that it's fine for us to call a few days later and let people know. And then if people are infected, we can shepherd them into care.
I think that's a wonderful thing, and you are such a caring person, and you've got an incredible team. We're going to have to take a break in a second, but when we come back, I want to talk to you more about your passion and really what brought you to be working so hard for this cause and to bring it to WaterFire, to bring not only to WaterFire, but to the community at large. That's something that was just discovered in 1989. There's got to be something personal there. I'd love to hear about that, and we're going to talk about everything happening at, you know, the Rhode Island Defeats Hep C Water Fire on August 1st. And Betsy, you're going to be telling us all about those boots, right?
I absolutely will.
You are listening to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790. We will be back in a minute with Dr. Taylor, Betsy Jones, and Bronwyn Dannenfelser. That would be me, I'm your host. Welcome back. Wow, check that out. You know what that is? That's the sweet sounds of Greg Abate, who's going to be playing at the Rhode Island Defeats Hep C Pavilion happening on Steeples Street. We've been talking to Dr. Lynn Taylor and talking to Betsy Jones. We're coming back to you. We're going to talk a little bit more about hepatitis C and, you know, one, the risks and a lot of information. You know, it is a disease, Dr. Taylor. We were talking during the break that it's had a stigma to it, and a lot of people haven't, you know, I think, have not wanted to come forward or even look at it. But we are in a very big time of change right now, just in the world in general and the way that we're seeing things and opening up. And one of the things I had asked you, and I wanted to start with, it amazed me, again, to hear 1989 is when this really first came to the forefront and was discovered, Hep C. That's not too long ago. What brought you into this field and such a passionate advocate for the work that you're doing?
Well, a few things. I started out as an HIV and AIDS physician, and I still am. And what started to happen right around 2000, 2001, was that with the advances in medications to control HIV, people started to live long, healthy lives, and the lifespan for someone with and without HIV were now becoming equivalent. But then what happened? People beat their HIV only to die of hepatitis C. And we saw 2001, 2002, 2003 that hepatitis C had become the leading cause of illness and death for people with well-controlled HIV.
Wow.
So that was one big, enormous factor. And the other thing was that I had the opportunity to work with infectious disease physician Professor Josiah Rich, who is at Brown University in the Division of Infectious Diseases. And he had a study in the 90s looking at offering people who injected drugs syringes within the context of a patient-doctor medicalized relationship to see if we could help decrease infection spread by blood. And what we found when we were working in West Providence was that it was very rare that someone would actually be infected with HIV or hepatitis B, but I saw that everyone had hepatitis C. And it just became apparent that this was a very common problem, an unsolved problem, and that it needed more and more and more attention. And that's when I was able to jump in.
Well, yeah, well, thank God for, you know, people like you. And, you know, again, with the Innovation Award and bringing Rhode Island Defeats Hep C to the forefront. I know you just came back from Geneva and the World Health Organization. Since these new drugs have been advanced that can help and can cure hepatitis C, what have you seen over the past 2 years in this kind of shift in treating hep C?
Wow, one pill once a day for many people for 8 to 12 weeks. Extremely safe, no side effects, and 95% of people are cured. And the cure is not just, okay, something's out of my bloodstream. Cure means that my risk of getting sick from hep C, from dying of hep C, go way, way, way down. My liver can become more healthy. And so to see the evolution in hep C treatments, we used to have chemotherapy, injections, and many pills for a year, and people's hair would fall out and they'd become depressed. That added to the stigma of hepatitis C. And we want people to know that you don't have to be afraid. We don't use interferon anymore. We don't use that dreaded chemotherapy interferon anymore. We have pills for 8 to 12 to 24 weeks that cure most people most of the time very safely.
You know, one, I think that just gives us a lot of hope when you think of, or when I think of hearing about hep C and it being a virus, or HIV, it's like, geez, well, are we going to find a cure? And when we say C is for cure, to me, it's amazing that this work has been done. And I know we're going to be kicking off the lighting with a massive, massive torch procession with people who are all from different, it's doctors, right? And Lynn, can you describe who's going to be
sure.
in this procession?
Sure. Well, I have to, again, thank Barnaby and thank all of you at WaterFire, because since last year's Hepatitis C WaterFire, there's just been an explosion of interest in Hepatitis C. So we have such a diverse group of new people who've come in to work on the Hepatitis C in Rhode Island. We have new liver surgeon Igioma Izzotto. We have Samir Shah, gastroenterologist, who's there. We have new primary care physicians involved who've identified Hepatitis C this year and hadn't been screening for it before and are now coming in. We have case managers, new researchers, Brandon Marshall and many others. Our School of Public Health in Rhode Island has jumped on board with full enthusiasm to start doing Hepatitis C research. So a very diverse group of people now involved as torchbearers. So we really want to thank you, because the interest sparked by last year's WaterFire was really extraordinary.
Well, I think we're going to see twice as many people this weekend, and we're going to be really highlighting that. And, you know, so the torch procession, be in that basin. It's the most amazing thing to see. All these people who are devoted to the cause, they'll be in the yellow sashes that are part of the cause and part of the cure. And that's really what we want to focus on there. And then, what are you going to do? You take a little walk. And you land on Steeple Street. And on Steeple Street, we're going to have a lot of information booths. We're going to have music, as we just heard Greg Abate and Rose Weaver, who we're going to be talking to a little bit later in the program. But Betsy, I know that you've been working diligently on putting together this incredible resource fair. And can we talk a little bit about that? I know we've got Hep C Hope. I know AARP, but the floor is yours, my lady.
Oh, thank you. Yes, we're really excited to have back a couple groups this year. And actually, because, as Lynn said, there is added interest, we do have groups come in this year who are new and who are really interested in reaching out to our community. And one of those groups that's new this year is the AARP, the American Association of Retired Peoples. And so we're really excited to have them, and they'll have information available on Steeple Street, along with the Rhode Island Organ Donor Awareness Coalition.
I imagine very important because of the liver, the effects on the liver, right?
Absolutely. Hepatitis C is the leading reason that Americans go to get liver transplantation in the United States.
More than alcoholism.
More than alcohol.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
And in that vein, we also have the American Liver Foundation joining us for the first time this year, which we're very excited about.
Very good.
And we'll also be having Brown University's Alpert Medical School will have some information available as well. And that's not to mention at all the screening center that will be set up on Steeple Street as well, so that anybody over the age of 18 can get screened for
18
hepatitis.
18 and older, excuse me.
Yes.
I mean, that sounds perfect. And then I've got to add in that there is going to be a very special art installation right up at the top of Steeple Street, where all these information booths are. I'll give you a little clue. Super magical. It's got a horn. And people have been looking for it all over Rhode Island. And it's going to be wearing a beautiful yellow sash, because, again, this entire fire is about C is for cure. Rhode Island defeats Hep C. Thank you to people like Dr. Lynn Taylor and the amazing group of people that she works with. And as she was just saying, Lynn, you know, more people coming on to help with the cause and help actually with the cure. I love it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful event. So we've got a lot of activities that are going to be happening. Dr. Taylor, thank you so much. Do you have a couple of closing words that you'd like to...
I hope we all look up at the State House tonight and see the dome glowing yellow, a very iconic image of our State House dome glowing yellow for World Hepatitis Day and Rhode Island Defeats Hep C. This is an image that's going to be beamed around the world.
That's so awesome, and it's up for over a week,
oh,
right?
Oh, wow, exciting. Mm-hmm. Over a week.
So Dr. Taylor,
thanks to you.
Thank you so much. We're going to have your website up on the Waterfire website so that people can get more information, and we just love you. Thank you for helping us.
I'm so grateful to get to partner with such a beautiful group and use the arts to enhance understanding of hepatitis C.
That's right, because you've got an incredible artist as a husband. I know that.
That's true.
All right, we'll be right back here listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island. Yeah, we're talking about August 1st. Be there or be square. Bye.